Support for WPR comes from Milwaukee Film, presenting the 16th Annual Milwaukee Film Festival, featuring local, national, and international films, April 11th through the 25th. Tickets are at mkefilm.org.
You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Wednesday morning, January the 3rd. We will talk about health care reform in Wisconsin this hour. Governor Doyle, who is inaugurated today for his second term, says that health care reform is one of his top agenda items for this new term that begins today. We will, by the way, be carrying that inauguration at noon today here on the Ideas Network. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions about what you want to see in terms of health care reform in Wisconsin. The Associated Press reporting yesterday that the Democrats and Governor Doyle are pushing for some health care changes. They say, according to this AP article, that they will push for a major expansion of a state-run health care program for the poor to cover more children and adults during the legislative session that begins this month. The expansion would make all children eligible for coverage, no matter how well off their parents are. In addition, tens of thousands of adults who were previously ineligible would be eligible to this change. Democratic Governor Jim Doyle and Democrats who control the Senate say that this is a top priority. They are considering many ideas to reduce the number of uninsured residents and to try to rein in rising costs of health care. But the AP article asks, can anything get done in a legislature split between a Republican-controlled assembly and a Democratic Senate? Governor Doyle said Democrats will come forward with a number of good, reasonable, middle-of-the-road proposals about health care that Republicans can go along with. We will talk about what is possible in terms of health care reform in Wisconsin this hour, and we will wonder if universal health care is indeed achievable. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. We welcome your thoughts and your questions for our guest. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Our guest is Jack Lohman. He is a former healthcare executive and author of Politicians, Owned and Operated by Corporate America. He is also the executive director of the Wisconsin Clean Elections Coalition and founder of the website ThrowTheRascalsOut.org. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks a lot for being with us. We contacted you about this issue because you wrote quite an extensive piece about the health care crisis and where is it going from here that you shared with us. Where is it going from here, Jack Lohman?
Well, I don't think we're going to like where it's going if we don't do something to fix it. We are heading toward a system that will be controlled by those who control the funding of it, and that's the employers. And if the employers are left in the loop, we're going to end up with a managed care system for everybody employed, Medicare for those over 65, and Medicaid for those who are unemployed. It is not a pretty picture. In 5 years, if something is not done quickly, we'll be left with without high-class health care insurance that we have today.
Yeah. Well, what's wrong with leaving it the way it is with employers involved in it heavily?
Well, first of all, we're burdening employers with health care costs that they should not be burdened with. If we got them out of the loop, they'd be able to reduce their cost of payroll by 15%, their cost of worker compensation by 50%, and not only their own automobile insurance costs, but the rest of the public's automobile insurance costs, which include a lot of health care. If we had a single-payer system that was not employer-funded, we'd would be able to provide health care for 100% of the population rather than 85%, and we'd be able to do it for the same cost that we're spending today.
How? How could we do it for the same cost?
Well, first of all, you have to look at who's paying for the system today, and it happens to be the taxpayers. When employers add their health care costs to the price of their product, the taxpayers and the consumers reimburse them at the cash register. So from that standpoint alone, we're paying, everybody is paying for the current health care crisis. In addition, we're paying in co-pays and deductibles and et cetera.
Yeah. You are not anticipating that Wisconsin's going to move toward a taxpayer-sponsored single-payer system, are you?
Certainly that would be my preference, but I'm not sure that we can get it done politically. Our problem is not funding. Our problem is political. If cash were not flowing from the health care interests that remain broken to the politicians who need their cash to get reelected, we would have seen health care reform years ago.
Yeah. Well, so how do those two play together? You're saying that the campaign money is clouding the judgment of the lawmakers?
Oh, indeed it is. $100 million a year flows at the federal level, $1.4 million a year at the state level from hospitals, medical societies, medical associations, pharmaceutical companies, et cetera. The current system is a for-profit system that has a lot of non-healthcare costs built into it. We have 1,500 insurance companies throughout the United States, 450 of them here in the United States, all taking a piece of the healthcare costs. These are non-healthcare services that are being added to our healthcare bill.
Yeah. Well, there is a proposal to move towards some sort of single-payer system in Wisconsin. State Senator Mark Miller wants to do that, doesn't he?
He does, and there are three proposals. Senator Miller's and Chuck Benedict in the Assembly have the most extensive proposal and the proposal that makes the most sense. It's, in essence, is a although not exactly, it's as close to a Medicare for all system that we can get to that would closely mimic the Canadian system. This would provide insurance to 100% of the people.
Yeah, and you would like this particular plan.
Oh, I would. And let me say that that I have no dog in this race. I am already on Medicare. I'm retired. I wouldn't benefit one way or the other. But I do, for the sake of the state and the people of the state, believe that we need a single-payer program, very much like Canada.
Now, you say that we're not getting this because, I don't know, lawmakers are being paid off by lobbyists and for the healthcare industry and that sort of thing. But you also hear people very concerned that say, you know what, I don't want to wait in line to get my heart operation, or I'm going to not have a good choice of doctors if we have this type of system. The public isn't entirely sold on a Canadian-based system. Do you think, Jack Lohman?
Well, first of all, in Canada, there are no wait times for urgent procedures. There are wait times for non-urgent procedures, but those, very frankly, could be eliminated by a simple increase in the funding. Ours is not a funding problem. Ours is a systemic problem. Ours is, we have some of the best doctors in the world, some of the best technology in the world, but we have the worst delivery system available. We're ranked 27th by the World Health Organization, far behind Canada, which is ranked at 5th, and France, which is ranked at 1st.
We're talking with Jack Lohman, a former healthcare executive, author of Politicians Owned and Operated by Corporate America. He's also the executive director of the Wisconsin Clean Elections Coalition and founder of the website ThrowTheRascalsOut.org. He's also author of a paper on the healthcare crisis, Where Is It Going From Here? And we're talking about healthcare reform in the state of Wisconsin and what the state legislature is likely to do and what the governor wants to see happen and what you would like to see happen. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. At noon today, we will have live coverage of the inauguration of Governor Jim Doyle and other state constitutional officers. That's today at noon. This will preempt the last half hour of Larry Mueller and the first airing of Chapter a Day today. Chapter a Day will be available for online listening on our website, wpr.org, and will be, as usual, broadcast this evening at 11 p.m. as well here on the Ideas Network. Special coverage of the inauguration today at noon here on the Ideas Network. And by the way, tomorrow at this time, we will welcome in Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter Sean Johnson, and we will talk about the many issues facing state governor, state government in this particular year. That's coming up tomorrow at 8 o'clock. We're talking about one of those issues facing the state legislature and the governor. Expanding tax breaks is a key part of the health care agenda that Governor Jim Doyle will be pushing in the upcoming legislative session. The governor says he will propose exempting all health insurance premiums from state taxes to help families struggling to keep up with rising costs. The plan would save hundreds of dollars per year for the average family, but would reduce state revenue by $50 million. I'm wondering, Jack Lohman, what you think about that idea from the governor to exempt all health insurance premiums from state taxes. Would that be a good idea?
Well, I think it's a step in the right direction, but it doesn't go far enough. The people really don't need a reduction in healthcare costs directly. They need a the elimination of health care costs as we currently know them. The cost should be built into the taxes that we pay, just as fire protection and police protection are built into the cost.
Another plan that has gotten some attention that the state legislature will be debating, it would require companies and employees to pay a percentage of wages into a statewide purchasing pool, and then workers would be able to choose from three levels of insurance coverage. Apparently, you wouldn't go along with this idea or wouldn't like this idea that much because it still depends on the employer.
Well, it depends on the employer, and it doesn't cover people who are unemployed. And we have to look at where we're going with this. It boggles my mind that we're even discussing this today. Healthcare represents 15% of our gross domestic product compared to, say, in Canada, where it represents only 10% of their costs. In 10 years, our costs are going to rise to about 30% of gross domestic product if we don't do something to stem the flow of cash. The best way to eliminate that is to eliminate the non-healthcare costs that we're paying for. We're paying roughly 30% in administration costs compared to, say, in the Medicare system, 5%. In Canada, it's about 10%. But these are costs that do not add anything at all to the health care that we're providing to patients. And most certainly, they're not providing health care to the unemployed.
What about the governor's plan to expand Badger Care to, cover more people, more low-income children, pregnant women, and others would qualify for this Badger Care Plus program?
Well, I think it's certainly better than nothing. It is a step in the right direction, and I would love to see that. However, if we did it right, and keep in mind that all of these other plans out there are really halfway measures. They don't get us to the end result. We'll get there in 10 years, but I question why we want to wait. Why don't we do this thing right up front, eliminate the halfway measures that don't cover all Wisconsin citizens? And the governor's plan to extend Badger Care would not cover all Wisconsin citizens, as it should.
Yeah, maybe we're not going to do it, Jack Lohman, because there's a $1.6 billion budget shortfall.
Well, if we redirected the money that we're spending on health care and non-health care costs correctly, we would not really increase the budget or the cost to the Wisconsin citizen or taxpayer by anything at all. In fact, if we took the health care burden out from under the employers, we would attract jobs and companies to the state of Wisconsin, which would increase the revenues far more than a universal health care plan would cost.
Let's go to the phones. Our lines are full for the moment. Pat in Richland Center. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, good morning and excellent program. Anybody that keeps their ear to the ground on this issue knows that it is the issue that the people are most concerned about. I conducted a survey a while ago, a simple, single question. What's the most important issue to you? Right in front of a Walmart store, over 100 people answered, and half of them said health care. Also, Jack's right. The money's already there. $7,000 is being spent on each one of us annually in the name of health care. In the state of Wisconsin, over half the people that are insured, they're insured by the public dollar already. And I guess I have one question. And what is the insurance industry doing in health care delivery anyway?
Well, they're adding a lot of cost to it. Clearly, 20% of our healthcare dollars go to the insurance industry and their overhead. And frankly, that's one of the reasons that they are lobbying so hard to keep the system the way it is.
Yeah, and you don't dispute Pat's survey in front of the Walmart with half of the people saying this was the most important issue to them.
I would agree 100% on that. And if you did another survey and asked the question, would you prefer our type of system to a single payer plan similar to that in Canada, I think you'd get 80% approval. It's interesting to note that 80 to 90% of Canadians prefer their system to ours.
Well, we can see with listeners calling in if that's the type of system they would prefer or not. Pat in Appleton is with us. Hi, Pat.
Hi. This goes along with the insurance portion that the last gentleman had touched on. I think the insurance company should be taken entirely out of the whole deal because they are charging over and over and over for the same thing. You pay how many times on your automobile policy for somebody else's health insurance? You pay on your homeowners for somebody else's health insurance. Your employer helps you pay for your insurance premium, plus they pay workman's compensation, plus in their liability policies they pay a couple of times. When you pay taxes, you're paying for the city to have liability coverage on the sidewalks, on the streets. The insurance for a person's body should be the same as for their car. One insurance pays for one thing. That way we don't have to pay for different insurance companies to sue one another to decide who's going to pay the bill. It's crazy. Take the insurance companies out of it.
Jack Lemmon?
Well, I think I couldn't have said it better. I think that the insurance companies are adding too much cost to the health care bill. And frankly, those costs are better spent covering those who are uninsured currently. I mean, if you look at the uninsured people go to the emergency room when they need care, people assume that that care is free, but very often the hospitals will turn around and bill the patient for that visit, and those bills add up to the point where 50% of our bankruptcies now are attributable to exorbitant health care costs.
We will go next to Joe in Milwaukee. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Joy. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that we have a $1.6 billion deficit after what Doyle was bragging through the whole campaign that he balanced the budget, and Green said, no, you have a deficit that you're hiding.
Let's talk about this other issue, though.
Now he finally admits it after the election. Well, Jack, you know, we have a lousy health care system now, but the only thing that would be worse would be your proposal with a single-payer system. You know, you talk about lobbying and political power. If you put 15% of the GMP into politicians' hands, they would have tremendous power, and we went into a situation like Canada, except for a lot worse because we have a lot bigger population. It's not true that what you said about the urgent care not being a problem, because they come here, pay cash for their major operation. They don't have enough MRI machines out there. They're health care rationing, and they have tremendously high taxes.
Yeah, hold on. Hold on, Joe. Let's get Jack Lohman to respond to that. He says there are all sorts of problems with Canada's healthcare system. You want to respond, Jack Lohman?
Well, that's certainly what the for-profit healthcare industry would like you to believe. But the truth of the matter is that Canada doesn't have inefficient or inadequate numbers of MRIs. They have an adequate number of MRIs. We have far more than we need, and that's one of the things that's driving our healthcare costs up. If you do a survey, and there have been surveys, and I'd refer you to pnhp.org, a website that has all of these facts, a survey was done of all the hospitals that border the United States, and at most there were 60 patients in the most active hospital, 60 patients per year from Canada that were admitted. Canadians who have a lot of money and don't want to wait 6 months for a knee replacement will, in some cases, come to the United States for care. But let me also point out that we are now having patients leaving the United States and going to India for heart surgeries that would cost them 10 times as much here in the United States to perform. So if the healthcare system were so bad in Canada, you'd see a lot of dead bodies on the streets, and you wouldn't see 80 to 90% of their population favoring their system to ours.
Yeah. We have a much bigger population than Canada. It would be different here.
We're talking about per capita rates, and when you look at the per capita rates in Canada, they have longer per capita hospital stays, they have more per capita doctor visits, the final analysis, even with those greater per capita rates, they have healthcare costs that are that are a third lower than ours, a third to a half lower than ours.
Yeah. So, Joe, are you still there?
Yes.
So it doesn't sound that bad in Canada. You want to follow up?
Well, I think, how many people are going to India for heart operations? Come on now. I think people are very satisfied here with the quality of health care. This 10% cost of administration in Canada is another factor. I think our government's different. If we anything the government does is very inefficient, and I bet you it would be like any other program where 40% of it would go to administration costs. And then like anything else, if you get unlimited health care for free, the system will be overwhelmed, and then the people are going to stop. The doctors will be overwhelmed, their pay will go down, and they will get out of the profession, which you're seeing is another problem in Canada.
Yeah. So is that what you're advocating, unlimited health care for free, Jack Lohman?
No. First of all, there's so many issues that Joe brings up. Most people do not look forward to going to the doctor's office and spending half the day sitting in a waiting room. They're not going to overutilize the system unnecessarily. There will be some of that in the beginning, but that will taper off. Secondly, if you look at private administration versus government administration, I think it behooves you to compare the current Medicare costs with those costs that are borne through the Medicare Advantage program, which is Medicare provided by the private industry. Companies like United Healthcare, for example, provide contract services to Medicare patients. Their costs are 12.5% higher than if you just provided or paid for those services through Medicare directly, as opposed to through the private industry. So this smokescreen that private industry is more efficient is exactly that. It's a smokescreen. They are not more efficient, and I, having spent 35 years in the healthcare industry and now being a Medicare patient, I will attest to the efficiency of the current Medicare system compared to any private system.
Thanks to Joe. Gene in Springdale is with us now. Hi, Gene.
Okay, hi, and thanks for having this program. And Jack, I've enjoyed reading a lot of the stuff you've written about healthcare, and I sure agree with you. We need to reduce the load on business for paying for health care, and I want people to imagine what it would be if we really followed the things that you've discussed. If 100% of the people in Wisconsin had high-quality health care coverage, period, whether employed, unemployed, rich or poor, what it would do for businesses, small businesses could develop, stay in the state, new businesses could come in, big businesses could come in, and we would really attract business. Why we can go along with the most anti-business system the world has ever seen, I can't understand it. We call it pro-business, and the caller before was giving all the mantras that are totally unrelated to facts, but just the same mantra that has been repeated for years, unsubstantiated, and somehow we got to get the truth of what Jack's been talking about to the people, because it is the only good business sense to have everybody covered and makes it much more affordable, and absolutely we are paying for it. No matter what system we have, 100% of it is paid for by we the people. And we the people should have the sense to do it much better. Other nations have figured out how to do it. We're bright enough and caring enough so we can do it. So thank you, Jack, for what you're doing.
Well, thank you. And Gene is absolutely right. The universal health care system that is being proposed by Miller and Benedict is the most business-friendly health care policy that you could hope for in the state of Wisconsin. It will bring companies to Wisconsin. It will keep companies in Wisconsin from leaving the state or going belly up. It boggles my mind that we have not done the math on this.
We are talking with Jack Lohman. I might have Leo Duran give you a quick call back, Jack Lohman, that having some problems with your phone line a little bit. Maybe you have call waiting, too. We might want to tie that up. Jack Lohman is a former healthcare executive and author of Politicians Owned and Operated by Corporate America. He is also the executive director of the Wisconsin Clean Elections Coalition and founder of the website throwtherascalsout.org. He's talking with us about the various plans before the state legislature that would reform healthcare in Wisconsin. Jack Lohman is advocating for a single-payer universal health care system. And we welcome your thoughts and questions. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Kathleen Dunn is with you after 9 o'clock. And let's see what Kathleen will be doing. Kathleen will be talking with NPR political junkie Ken Rudin. They'll talk about the new Congress, the long race ahead for the presidency in 08, and also about the Gerald Ford years. That's coming up. Ken Rudin joining Kathleen Dunn. We're talking with Jack Lohman, who is a former healthcare executive who advocates for a single-payer health care system. And we're talking about the chances of that happening in Wisconsin. There is a plan before the state legislature that would provide that. There are also some other plans that one would require companies and employees to pay a percentage of wages into a statewide purchasing pool, and then workers would be able to choose from three levels of insurance coverage. There's another that would require employers to pay a fee for each worker, and employees would be responsible for low co-payments. There is also a plan that would provide tax exemptions for whatever you pay for health insurance premiums. We're talking about these various reform ideas in the state legislature and the chances of these reforms, including the chances of universal health care coverage. How can it happen? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Tina in Mequon is with us next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. My question is, would one of these health care plans cause Wisconsin to become a magnet state for uninsured people, and then would that have a negative effect on our state?
Well, it certainly would become a magnet for businesses, and I think it would also encourage other states to implement a similar type of program so that they don't lose their employers. So I think in the long run it will balance itself out. Very frankly, this should be a federal solution. Representative John Conyers in the House has a bill to provide this on a nationwide basis, and that's the best approach. But with $100 million a year being transferred, and much of that from the healthcare industry to politicians, will start going into the pockets of Democrats now instead of Republicans. I think that we are best advised to create the solution at the state level in the interim.
Yeah. What do you make of Governor Doyle saying that Democrats will come forward with a number of good, reasonable, middle-of-the-road proposals for health care reform that Republicans can go along with?
Well, I certainly hope that is true. But when you say middle of the road, I hope that does not include a mishmash of half solutions. We don't need a halfway correction to the system. We need to fix it up front. We need to do it right. We need to make it simple. Complexity just simply adds costs to the system. It has to be a simple system. That simple system already exists in a Medicare type of solution.
Yeah. What do you think of the health care savings accounts idea that a lot of Republicans like?
Well, I think it's those are time bombs waiting to happen. I think that it, frankly, it's an employer's way of transferring the risk of health care to the employee. And I think it will ultimately fail. It will drive up credit card debt and bankruptcies, and I think it will cause unnecessary and perhaps dangerous delays in treatment. Clearly, if someone with a health savings account with a $5,000 out-of-pocket expense, they're going to delay potential treatments that should be looked at right away. So I think it's going to have a negative health experience, and I think we may not find that out for 5 or 10 years.
One thing we haven't talked about is this catastrophic pool idea, the creating a state-run insurance pool to cover catastrophic insurance claims for businesses with 50 employees or less. That might be funded possibly by a $1 per pack cigarette tax hike. What do you think of that idea?
Well, I think that if you're looking for a halfway measure, that's a good one. If you have a Medicare for, and I hate to keep coming back to this Medicare for All system, but it makes the most sense. It is across the board. It's 100%. It's not halfway. It solves the problem, and it does it simply. And it provides 100% of the people with health care. You don't need a catastrophic insurance plan under that program.
Next, we'll go to Carmen in McHenry, Illinois. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. In the early 90s, I drove through Canada, and I've been concerned about health care for a long time for a lot of people, and it was kind of a little mission. I asked at every stop, every gas station, restaurant, hotel, motel, repair shop, clothing store, how do you like your health care system? 100%. And I hesitate to use words like every person was happy with their system. There was. I think your guest is so right on the mark that he can't say these things any better. I think he's 100% correct.
Yep. Jack Lemmon.
Well, thank you. I certainly have heard similar stories, and I would also agree that I hate to use 100%, but you know, the surveys are 80 to 90%, and I might point out that when you hear negative things about Canada, it's usually coming from a healthcare industry that is inspired by the current level of profits. And they don't want to lose those profits. And we have a contingent of for-profit healthcare interests in Canada that are trying to undermine that system as well. They're trying to get the funding reduced so that it pushes that number of satisfied citizens from the 80 to 90 or 100% level down to below 50 so that they can get a privatized system very much like the one in the United States where they can make some money.
Let's go next. Thanks, Carmen. Carl in Green Bay. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, my question for your guest is that ABC News, John Stossel 2020, did a story on nonprofit hospitals and, you know, indicating that a lot of them, they pay no taxes whatsoever, and they were making money hand over fist, you know, and they're supposed to give out so much free care to people who cannot pay. And they found out that this one particular one, and I want to be careful not to indict the whole group, but this one particular one hardly paid anything out, and they were making money. And I just want to know, what role can the government play as far as holding these nonprofits, these large, you know, church-affiliated, non-for-profit hospital groups accountable and making sure that they're doing their fair share and they're just not taking a free ride on the tax breaks?
Well, if we have a system like they have in Canada, hospitals would be paid on the basis of they'd be given a fixed operating budget that would be renegotiated at the end of each year. They'd have a second budget that would cover things like equipment purchases, capital purchases, et cetera. So hospitals would not be taking it on the chin with regard to bad debt, et cetera. And if the hospital's budget is set appropriately, those kinds of abuses that you describe would not occur.
Thank you, Carl. Catherine in Marshfield, good morning.
Good morning. My question regarding health care refers to the number of elective surgeries that we currently see, such as repeat cesarean section on demand and bariatric and repeat bariatric surgeries.
Yes, what about them?
And how would that impact if we have national health care or a program similar to that?
Well, I don't think it'd be any different than it is in Canada or France that I mentioned earlier as being the number one healthcare system in the world, according to the World Health Organization. I'm not familiar with those particular procedures, but let me, while we're talking about this, let me bring up the VA medical system and the Armed Forces hospitals and medical system. These are highly rated medical services in the United States. In fact, the VA patients have a higher satisfaction rate than patients that belong to the private for-profit networks. And I might point out that these are socialized medicine. These are salaried physicians working in hospitals that are owned by the government. Their costs per employee is in the $4,000 range compared to outside of their system in the private world, $6,500 per employee. I think we have to, we need a serious investigation of where we're wasting our dollars.
Thank you, Catherine. Rich and Edgar, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. My comments are also on the single-payer systems. Been some comments on France and Canada and some criticism of those systems, but I don't know if it's World Health Organization, but when, you know, studies have been done on what countries, various countries pay out, and I think America pays out in the international comparison something like 14% of gross national product versus other industrialized countries, something in the neighborhood of like 11%. And then we're generally deemed to be getting less comprehensive and poorer quality care, even though we're paying out more. And I think the critics of those single-payer systems, you know, really have to ask, explain why America is paying more but getting less overall. And if your guests could, you know, comment on that. But the other thing I had was the prescription drug bill passed a couple of years ago. What did he think of those provisions that forbid providers from bargaining for the best prices? That's all I got today.
Yeah, all right, thanks.
Well, I appreciate both comments. First of all, on the quality of care, he's absolutely right. Canada has a life expectancy 2 years longer than ours, infant mortality rate 35% lower than ours, and that's mostly attributable to the fact that they cover 100% of their people versus our coverage of 85%. On the Medicare Part D program, this is the one of the most costly political boondoggles ever foisted upon the taxpayers of the United States. This is a $780 billion giveaway to the drug industry. And if you follow the money, you'll find out why.
Yeah. So if we have a single-payer system, are we going to see more of that kind of stuff happening?
Well, no, we'll see less of that happening. First of all, if we had a single-payer system that was allowed to negotiate prices with drug companies, we'd see drug costs come down. But I might point out that, The drug industry argues that they need all of these excessive profits to offset their research and development. And it's interesting to note that the drug industry is the most profitable industry in the world, even after deducting for its high R&D costs, its high salaries, its high profits, etc. The taxpayers already are funding over a third of drug research and development. My proposal, and this is a discussion for another day, but I believe that the taxpayers should pay 100% of the R&D costs, and the taxpayers then own the patents on the drugs and license them out to various manufacturers. But that's a story for another day.
And we'll do that another day. Ingrid in Menominee Falls is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, I'm a first-time caller, but I'm listening here to this, and we have relatives in Canada. My husband's brother died because he could not get into an MRI machine. They had to go to London. They had to wait I don't know how many weeks. I just talked to my husband's cousin last night. They had to wait, I don't know for how long, to get into an MRI system. It is, I would not want to have the Canadian system here in the United States. It is really not good. And what this gentleman is saying sounds very good, but once you look into the system, they have to wait forever and ever before they get some service.
Yeah. Thank you, Ingrid. Jack Lohman, Ingrid and others are worried about that.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, Canada does have some wait times, but theirs is a funding problem. It is not a systemic problem like ours. If they increase their funding by 10% to 11% of gross domestic product instead of our 15, they could eliminate those. Now, incidentally, I'm talking about a Medicare for all system in the United States, and we have zero wait times in the United States. So we're not talking about the same kind of problem that you describe of your relative. The costs will be lower than what we're experiencing now, and those costs can be redirected to the proper care, and that's the key.
Jack Lohman, we'll have to have you back. We have full lines and no more time. Thanks a lot for being with us.
You bet. I appreciate it.
Jack Lohman, former healthcare executive, author of Politicians Owned and Operated by Corporate America, executive director of the Wisconsin Clean Elections Coalition, and founder of the website ThrowTheRascalsOut.org. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I'm Joy Cardine. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.